thought about as they sung that song, Lay It Down. You know, one day the last message will be preached, the last song will be sung, the last testimony will be given, the last prayer will be prayed, and we'll lay it down somewhere. The cross gets heavy a lot of times to bear, but you know, the Bible said if we had hope of Christ in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. But and I'm thankful that He's in charge today and He's got things in control. He's God. Whether I'm up or where I'm down, He's God. Whether I'm in or where I'm out, He's still God. You know that? No matter what takes place in this world, He's still God. And He's still in control. He still calls the shots. I'm glad about this morning. And nothing comes to my life or your life that God does not allow. He does it for our good and His glory today. And that's the kind of God that we serve. And I appreciate what the Lord has done in my life, where He brought me from, where I am this morning. But I'm thankful where I'm headed to. Amen. If you're not on that journey, Brother Jeff made the statement a little while ago, I'm going to rejoice and shout when I get to heaven, but I'm going to enjoy it along the way. And we sang that song, everybody will be happy over there. Brother, I get a little joy in this life every once in a while. Amen. If we're just getting our place. This morning, Acts chapter number 4, if you'll turn. I'd like to read with us this morning. Brother Greg Robson preached the other Wednesday night in this chapter. Lord, give us this thought. It's been bearing on our hearts since Wednesday night. We begin to ponder and meditate on this. But Acts chapter number 4, I like to begin reading with verse number 1. And they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees, came upon them, being grieved, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, the number of the men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, that to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before, here before you whole. This is a stone which the set at naught of your builders, which is become of the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have just to call on you. Lord, now I pray, God, that you anoint these scriptures. Help us that we might get in our place. Father, we might proclaim your precious word. Fill this place this morning with conviction. That loss might come. That is out of your will might cry out. Lord, that you may be glorified in all things and everything things accomplished today. We'll be careful to praise you. Father, we'll thank you. And we'll give you honor because we love you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Now for just a few minutes this morning, have the Lord been my helper. I like to preach on this thought. Have you been with Jesus today? Now that's an important question that needs to be answered. I'm not talking about have you heard about him? My friend, have you read about him? But have you been with him? The question this morning. The Bible said here that the council took knowledge. Peter and John realized that them boys was ignorant and unlearned. But they took knowledge and perceived that they had been with Jesus. That's what made the difference today. I begin to study and read. I don't know whether you ever thought about this or not, but there was about 13 men in that day that turned the world upside down. They were 11 men that was just ignorant and unlearned, followed the Lord. My friend, they was one physician, and they was one intellectual, called Apostle Paul. They turned the world upside down. Why? It wasn't because of education. It wasn't because, my friend, they had a social standing. But it was because they had been with Jesus. Amen. This morning, you know what's going to change this world? My friend, it's not going to be a politics. It's not going to be a philosophy. It's not going to be money, but it's going to take people that spend time with the Lord this morning to change things, to make a difference. Brother, we read about men. I'm talking about men of God that spent time on their knees. They spent time meditating on the scripture. You remember the Bible. Joshua was put in command. God told Joshua, he said, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. And he said, Bill, he said, meditate on the scripture day and night. You know that. He had five books, that's all he had to meditate on. But they went over there. I marched around Jericho. My friend, the walls fell down. Why was it? It's because they spent time with the Lord. Yes, sir. This morning, brother, if we're going to see a change take place, it's going to take me and you. I'm not talking about hearing things. I'm not talking about, my friend, in our own weak way, doing what we think we ought to. But I'm talking about spending time with Jesus this morning. Amen. Brother, that's what it's going to take today. You know, I found this out. I found out most Baptists is betweeners. Did you know that? They between Egypt and the promised land. Yes, sir. They're between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Brother, amen, doing their own thing. Yes, let me tell you this. Today, if we're going to have power, if there's going to be something about us that makes a difference in this world, you and I are going to have to spend time with Jesus today. Amen. the Bible says. But they call Peter and John into the council. Now this was the same council that condemned Jesus and crucified him some weeks before. And now they call Peter and John into the council. Been a miracle took place. There'd been a boy late birth to gay. Called beautiful. And Peter and John went up to the temple to our prayer. That boy was laying there big in arms. And Peter said, Bill, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. That boy got up. He just didn't walk. He began to leap and jump. Amen. And praise the Lord. Why? Because Peter had power about him. Why? Because he'd been with the Lord. Amen. This morning, my friend, there's a lot of religion in this world today. Church is starting on every corner. He passed church sign. You can go to New Vision Church. They're not a denomination. You can go to Turnaround Church. East Ridge or North. Holler anything like that. They starting churches everywhere. There's more churches in this world than there's ever been. There's more religion in this world than there's ever been. And there's also more wickedness and ungodliness in this world than ever been. What we need, Brother Hall, just men that'll spend time with Jesus this morning. Amen. Brother, we need to get back to a place where this book is the only book that satisfies our longing. I thought about this morning's eyes. I'm meditating and reading. We're in a Christmas, the Christmas season. Folks are going here and there, doing their own thing. And we forgot about what this season's really all about. Amen. Folks don't even want to have church on Christmas morning because it's inconvenient. Their family. Whose birthday is it anyhow? Yes, sir. Brother, we need to get back to where we spend time with the Lord and let Him have control of our life. Amen. But the Bible, I said that Peter stood full of the Holy Ghost. And now there's two or three things I want to say to you this morning. How do you know when somebody's been with Jesus? I believe there's some characteristics about that person. There's a difference about that person. You know what I believe? I believe when a man's been with the Lord, he's full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir, I do. I believe that. The Bible said if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Amen. Brother, this ain't just something you decide to do. It just ain't something you decide you want to take in your life. Brother, this is something that you only receive by invitation. Amen. When the Spirit of God pricks your heart and lets you know that you're lost and undone, that's when you say. But brother, I believe when a man's saved, he's got a hungerness to stay with the Lord this morning. Amen. Hey, too many people, Brother Jeff. This up and down. In and out. Amen. I say they've been saved. My friend. Amen. They'll work for the Lord. I told a buddy of mine the other day, I said, you know, why back in revival? I preach a message on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men on fire. What's the message the Lord gave me when I first got saved? And you'd see folks saved. And brother, that I began to work in the church, and they'd witness, and they'd get dedicated. You know what people say? They'd say they on fire. You don't hear that much anymore about folks being on fire for the Lord. But I guarantee you, Peter and John, I was on fire because they'd been with Jesus. Amen. Amen. There was a change about them. It's full of the Holy Ghost. You know what I believe? And Brother Jeff, our Baptist churches, if they'd get full of the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't be complaining and murmuring and backbiting. Amen. Fault finding. Folks could get along. Forgive one another. Amen. When we get full of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you what the Bible said. Psalms 119. I believe it's 164. I said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend me. Amen. Brother, that's where we need to get back to work. When to shake it off and keep on going. Amen. We put our feelings on our shoulders. You're going to be a member of Baptist Church. Buddy, I tell you better not put your feelings on your shoulder. Somebody will knock them off. Yes, sir. And brother, we need to get back where God is number one. Amen. In our lives, and he's the one we want to please. Brother, that morning, I believe this right here. You may believe different, but I believe that we're all baptized into one body by the same Spirit. Yes, sir. I believe everybody's saved and baptized with a Spirit of God. But I'll tell you something. There are many refreshings and refillings. And I believe sometimes we just need to go back to the well of grace and let the Lord fill us up again. Oh, that we can have that love one another who we used to have. We can have that compassion. You know what? I thought about it. I appreciate the meeting this morning. I do. These folks going to the altar and praying. I told a buddy of mine the other day, I said, I've seen the church changing in the last 20 years. When I got saved, I remember when I go to church, I heard a song on the radio one day. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Murtis Willingham get up and sang that. And the altars would fill up. Amen. Somebody hit the floor preaching. Amen. Altars fill up again. Amen. The Spirit of God was moving. Boy, I tell you, I long to see times like that again. Amen. When folks realize that their hope was not in this world. Their hope was not in the material thing of this world, but the only hope we got is in Jesus Christ, and we ought to spend some time with him. Amen. Today, I believe this morning that a man that has been with Jesus, he's full of the Holy Ghost. I believe he's got a love about him. Amen. I believe he's got a burden to see sinners saved. Today, folks, we've lost that somewhere along the way. We just expect the lost to come to us. It don't work that way. God told the disciple, He said, go into all the world. Amen. Did you know 2/3 of God's name is go? Amen. We need to go witness. We need to go and compel the lost to come in. But the house may be filled. Brother, listen to me. They went out, come back, and said they won't come to the supper. He said, go get the lame, the halt, the blind. I'm glad he included the Chambers's, ain't you? And the Leatherwood. Ain't you glad he included? It's not by social standing at all. It's because God loved us and wants us to be saved today. Man, have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? You know what I like about read the book of Acts? Amen, Brother John. You know what Peter done? He preached to them Jesus. Didn't preach about Jesus. He preached to them Jesus. Amen. You know what Philip done? When he climbed up in that chariot over there in that desert, that Gaza desert, that Ethiopian was there, and he said, who is he talking about, himself or another? Philip climbed up into that chariot, began with the same scripture, and preached to him Jesus. Yes, sir. We need to quit preaching about him. We need to quit telling sad stories. We just need to get back and preach Jesus to a lost and dying world. We can see folks changed. They were ignorant and unlearned. They didn't know nothing about science, but they were acquainted with the Savior. They guarantee that a lot of people know about astrology and psychology. There's a lot of people knows about medicine and things of that. That's not going to change your world. No, sir. You got to get acquainted with a great physician and spend time with him this morning if we're going to see a change take place. They weren't ignorant about Jesus. I guarantee you that. Amen. They walked with him and they seen a miracle. And I'm going to tell you something. I like old Peter. You can talk about him if you don't care. Amen. You can say he doubted the Lord. I denied him. I don't care what you say about him. But I'm going to tell you something. After Pentecost, oh, Peter's feet hit the ground. He never turned back. Brother, amen, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. He had enough power about him that they laid their sick out in the street and even his very shadow passing by, I would heal them. You know why? Because he had been with the Lord. Wasn't too ignorant in my book.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He'd been with Jesus. Made a difference in his life. I've never preached and given an invitation. 3,000 people got birth in the family. He didn't go to the Jerusalem seminary. Amen. He didn't learn theology, amen, from a bunch of books. Our education's good. I'm not knocking you. But I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. A man is no good. He can have all the diplomas and degrees he wants hanging on the wall. It'll not do him any good until he spends time with Jesus. Makes a difference. I read a little story one time, and you probably heard it. A man from this little small community went off to college and became a great public speaker. And one Sunday, he come back to visit the hometown and went to the little church that he was raised in. And the people were so glad to see him. And they were so overtaken by the way he used his words. And so they got up there and said, "We want him to come up here and we want him to quote the 23rd Psalms. And you just listen to the eloquent speech." And he got up there and quoted the 23rd Psalm. And boy, it was, I mean, everybody in the house was overtaken by his speaking. And then they asked the pastor, little old preacher, to get up. "You quote the 23rd Psalm." In his little rough, clackly voice, he began to quote it. And some of them began to look, and tears began to run down that little old preacher's face. When he got through, that speaker stood up and said, "I know the Psalms, but the pastor knows the shepherd. That's the difference. This morning, we got to spend time with Jesus." Makes a difference. They were ignorant about a lot of things, but they weren't ignorant about Jesus. They weren't ignorant about the Scripture. Peter stood before that council, and he said, "Be it." He said, "This is the stone which the builders rejected. That's become the head of the corner." Said, "This man, by faith in this man, a man has made this impotent man." Oh, it wasn't nothing that we done, but it was by faith in that man you took out yonder and crucified on the cross. I said, "He's the one that gave it and made this man whole." And the Bible said they went aside and they couldn't deny there'd been a great thing done. Amen. And they said, "We don't want you preaching or teaching in this name anymore." And then Peter looked down and said, "It will it be right with you or God?" I said, "We're going to do what we was told by the Lord." Amen. They went and left that council rejoicing. And you know what I like about it? Oh, Peter stood up full of the Holy Ghost. But before that chapter ended, he got filled up again because he had been with the Lord. Have you been with Jesus? Have you been with him? I'm not talking about your name on the church roll. I'm not talking about shaking preacher. I'm not talking about having a good feeling. Every once in a while. Brother Debbie, me and you talked a little while ago. There's not good feelings in trouble and trials. And I've been in places where it seemed like I was miles and miles and miles from the presence of the Lord. Amen. And begin to ask God, "Why is this taking place? And in my life, seem like you're going through the darkest, driest desert you ever seen in your life." Amen. But you know something? Every once in a while, my friend, God will get up close to you. I scooch up close and say, "Just keep on keeping on. I'm right here with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'll go with you all the way." Brother, that's the kind of God I say. That's the kind of God I want to be with. Amen. Have you been with Jesus? If you've been with Jesus, you can forgive those that wronged you. Have you ever been hurt by anybody? I'm talking about somebody in the church. You've been hurt like a knife been stricken.
Bless him, God.
You know what people say? "Well, preacher, I'm forgive, but I can't forgive." And you know what happens the first time you get angry? That root of bitterness, none brought full fruit. You lash out. Why is it when a husband and wife gets in a fuss, they reach back the other and bring back old garbage? It hurts. It hurts. There ain't a thing in the world I can do about yesterday. No, it's history. I can't change history. He knew no matter. But I can make the difference in tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
If tomorrow comes. Amen. Why can't folks just forgive one another and love one another? Amen. Anybody perfect in the church, would you stand up? I won't talk to you at a meeting. None of us is perfect. We all got faults and failures. But you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad when things go to springing up, I can find myself a place, get on my face and get with Jesus. And get with Him. Say, Lord, I need help. I don't like this feeling I got. I need help, Lord. I need help. I want to be able to look them in the face and say, I forgive you. I love you. And really mean it. And put it behind me. And go on. You know what I believe, people? It's been with Jesus. Can do that. I believe people can see a difference in your life. You may have heard me tell this, but when I first got saved, there was an old deacon in the church. He died last year, 88 years old. But he'd get up and he'd get to singing, and the Lord get on him, and boy, he'd just get to quivering. And I said, Lord, I want what he's got. I won't be like him. Nothing never seemed to get him upset. I've seen people talk to him like a dog, and it never upset him. He just go on shouting and praising and loving the Lord. I said, I want to be like him. I'd get to church early to sit by. I'd rub up against him. But I found out it didn't rub off. What I needed to do was just spend time with Jesus. There was an old prophet in the Bible. The Bible said it. Where he went, he walked through a little place and passed by a little a woman's house. And the Bible said one day, and she told her husband, she said, let's build him a little room. Out yonder, put him a table and a chair and a candlestick. Now I want you to hear what she said about it. She just didn't say, I perceive that he is a man of God. She said, I perceive that he's a holy. There's a difference, my friend. There's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of folks that call themselves ministers. But I tell you, know the difference when one's been with Jesus. Amen. Seminary don't make a preacher.
Amen.
Amen. Education does not make a preacher. Faithfulness don't make a preacher.
Bless him.
God's the one that makes them.
That's right.
He's the one that calls them. And if they're going to be effective, they're going to have to spend time with Jesus. They were ignorant and unlearned. But you know something? They knowed about Jesus. They knowed about the Scriptures. They realized that that book was the only book. By the way, they didn't have nothing but the Old Testament. That's all they had. But you know what made them what they was? They walked with him for 3.5 years.
They seen him unstop deaf ears. They seen him open blinded eyes. They seen him raise the dead. Seeing's believing. Seeing's believing. He resurrected from the grave and appeared to them. Thomas wasn't there. But you know what? I like this. I always thought about this. The Bible said Jesus breathed on them. And they got enough spirit to take them to Pentecost. But Thomas wasn't there. And I can just say, Peter, you ought to have been there, Thomas. He breathed on me. You ought to have been there, Thomas. Thomas said, except I see, I won't believe. Jesus appeared the second time and said, go ahead and thrust your hand in my side. Touch my nail scarred hand. He said, you believe, come. You say, but more blessed are those that don't see it and yet believe.
Amen. That's right, Brother Billy.
I ain't never seen a nail scarred hand. I ain't never thrust my hand in that side. And I've never behold that face that John saw on out of the Patmos. But I'm going to tell you something. February 2nd, 1986, about 2 o'clock one Sunday evening, I got acquainted with somebody that moved on the inside of my heart and made a difference in my life and made a change in me. And I want to spend time with him that I can walk with him and serve him and have power about me. Have you been with Jesus? I'm not talking about now. Somewhere you had an experience and it made you feel good for a day or two. And then you just went back to your ways. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that made you want to live a life that pleased Him. Something that made you want to love your neighbor as yourself. Something that gave you a hungerness and a desire to grow and know Him. When I first got saved, I wanted to just take this book and eat it. That's how much I want to know about it. I'm ignorant and unlearned. And a lot of things. I've even been ignorant about a lot of Scripture. But I'm glad I know the Savior. I'm glad that He's given me enough understanding to know what's right, what's wrong. I'm glad I know this book right here is my roadmap. Not my roadmap to heaven. I've heard people say, this is my roadmap of life. How to live. How to love. How to treat folks. But I'm telling you this morning, Peter was not unlearned and ignorant about salvation. He said, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, a lot of people nowadays are teaching a lot of things. There's a lot of things being taught in our churches, even in our Baptist churches. They'll tell you all you got to do now is just say and repeat the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. They'll even pray it for you and say, you repeat after me. They'll say, now you're saved. Now you're saved. You're my brother and my sister in Christ. And there's no change whatsoever in their life. That's taught today. Ain't what Peter taught. He said, there ain't no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And the only way that you're going to get to God is through Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to get to Jesus is be drawn by the Spirit. By invitation. By the Spirit of God. Now, you know, I didn't know nothing about Scripture. I raised in church all my life. I did not know nothing till the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I was lost. The Holy Spirit done that, D.P. The Holy Spirit convicted me. The Holy Spirit was the one that led me out to Calvary. The Holy Spirit was the one that took my prayer. The Holy Spirit was the one that led me to Christ. The Holy Spirit was the one that birthed me in the family of God. It was by invitation this morning.
That's right, brother.
No other way. No other prayer that you can pray. Nobody can pray your prayer for you. It's the sincere desire of your heart. If you got a desire to be saved and the Lord speaks to your heart, and all you got to do is confess. And amen. You don't have to pray a prayer and ask to forgive all of your sins that you've ever committed. Amen. Man, you listen to me. The Lord knows what you've done. All you got to do is confess. I'm a sinner of this. I preached a message several months ago, and I preached on Isaiah 6, I don't know how many times, but the Lord showed me something. Isaiah went before the Lord. Do you know what he said? He did not say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins, that I've done this or that." He didn't say, "Lord, I'm a sinner." He didn't say that. He said, "I'm undone. Don't forgive me what I've done. Forgive me for who I am." That's what we got to do. You say, "Lord, forgive me for who I am." Have you been with Jesus? I want to ask you that question. Really been with Jesus this morning? There's a change takes place in a person's life. There's a hungerness and a desire that comes. And I'm not going to say you ain't going to get cold every once in a while. I find my own self, Brother Hall, drifting sometimes. I mean, boy, if you been in dead places I've been in. I mean, I've been to Rick and Mortis Baptist Church, buddy. I'm telling you, son, I'm dead. I'm telling you. And you get in a place like this, it makes you appreciate it. The Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But have you truly been with Jesus today? Do you know? Without a shadow of a doubt. You've been saved. The Lord's speaking to your heart this morning. You know what I'd do? I'd get up out of my pew and I'd just come and bow on an altar and tell him with my own lips what I want, what I need. The Bible said he'll know why it's cast you out. Man, Peter, all he could tell him was this, what he'd seen and what he'd heard. But what a powerful man he was. He might have not could have talked to you about astrology. Peter might have could not have talked to you about a lot of things. But when it come to Jesus and salvation, this man knows what he's talking about. Because he's been with the Lord. Have you been with the Lord this morning? I want to ask you as they come with the verse of the song today. And I want you to search your heart. I'm not trying to make you doubt. The devil does enough of that. But I want you to look at your life. Have there been a change? Has your desire changed? Paul made the statement, said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." And there's a difference. There's a change. Have there been a change in your life? Maybe you've been here, you're here this morning, you've been saved, and you sort of drifted away. You've got cold. And that's easy to do. Very easy to do. And you just need to come and get up next to the fire. Get with Jesus. You just need to come and say, "Lord, forgive me for my slackness. Forgive me, Lord, for drifting away. I just want to get close to you." I want to feel your presence. I want to have that desire and that burden again like I once had. Be honest with yourself. There ain't but two people knows what's on the inside of you. That's you and the Lord. You and the Lord's the only one knows what's on the inside. Not me, not Brother Jeff, not nobody else. You can put a smile on your face and make everybody think you're dear happy. And on the inside, all hell breaks loose. You got a need this morning, you just need to move up closer. Whatever the need is, I want to ask that you stand this morning. If you got a need, I'd just bring it to Him. I'd get with Jesus today, and I'd talk to Him about it. I'd just come to Him this morning. Peter does not know a lot, but he knew the one that could solve your problems. He knew the one that could forgive you your sins. Jesus is the only one. What about it this morning while we sang? You feel a need to pray, would you come? Would you come? What about it today? Have you been with Jesus? What about it this morning? Sing on, brother. Do you know Him? Have you been with Him? Today, maybe you've drifted away and you just got a yearning for that closeness again. Come, call on Him today. Do you know? About it this morning. You know what's going to solve our problems? You know what's going to change our own lives? Just spending time with Jesus. The only hope that America has is men spend time with Jesus. That's the only hope we got. And I would say this morning, not trying to be critical or mean or ugly, but the majority of the church folks, the only time that they really spend in the presence of the Lord is Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Some of the best times I've ever had
some of the best teachings that I've ever received was just me and the Lord together meditating. Him opening things up to me just like He paints me a picture. This makes all the storm clouds go away. Spending time with Him. When He's in the midst, there may be a storm, but I guarantee you He can speak peace to your heart. He can bring a calm where there's a boistering wind. He can meet your need today. He can give you peace. And He can give you joy. What about it? Well, let's sing. What other verse? What about this morning? What about it today? Do you know Him? Have you been with Him?
Come and pray. My prayer is you'll spend more time with Jesus. Some of you to make you happy. To fix your problems and whatever's going on. The whole time he's preaching, the only thing kept rolling through my mind, though, surely there's somebody here saying, how can I spend time with Jesus? When He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, I can't get to heaven. Almost like Nicodemus. How can a man be born of a woman the second time? Sometimes a man can preach something so plain, yet we still can't seem to comprehend what God's trying to tell us. Do you know what the Bible said, what John said? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. You won't spend time with Jesus getting your Bible. The less time you're in your Bible, the more miserable you're going to be if you're saved. And you ain't got to tell me you're miserable. I could tell you you're miserable when you come out. You can tell when I'm miserable. You can tell when somebody's miserable. I can tell when somebody's sick. I tell somebody's butler, Brother Billy. I tell when somebody comes in church and they deal with Jesus. Some people shout once a year, and I usually think the week before that's the week they spent with Jesus. Some people shout every week, and people say they shout too much. You ain't going to make people happy. I've figured that out. If we had a 30-minute service this morning, somebody went out in the service, Brother Billy, and they'd said, I just served what long enough this morning, Brother Jim? I don't even feel like I've been in church. I've heard them say that. And ain't nobody going to say this morning. Somebody going to say, well, we went and prayed, but we've been in church too long. It's almost 1 o'clock. I almost opened my Bible, and this is what I've had people say this, Brother Billy, going out the door. Well, yeah, I'm used to getting out at 12 o'clock. I said, well, 100 churches down the road will let you out at 12 o'clock. We don't get out at 12 o'clock. love my family. Our family get together is on Christmas Sunday night. Every year. But every 7 years, I'm late. I don't get to see my brothers and sisters much, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been with Jesus. He changed my life. I used to go play softball instead of coming to church. I used to know more about the line of praise than I knew about the 12 disciples. But I got born again, Troy. I met a man named Jesus. He changed my outlook on life. And I'm not saying bragging. I'm saying he'll make a difference in your life. I never thought the meeting here, so we're going to dismiss. Let me find my sword. So I laid it back here. So we, Brother Billy made his way to the back door. I never thought we'd have a Super Bowl, and I wouldn't know who was playing. The last couple of years, people come in and go, who are you rooting for, Jeff? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. They're like, Super Bowl Sunday. Boy, where you been? You live in a hut? You on some island? I said, no, I've been in church. You know what they used to say, Brother Tony? Y'all go to church more than anybody ever sang. Seem like you get tired of going to church. I'm going to tell you something, and I know.